All right. So we're going to be talking about the joy of the Lord. So who's heard this scripture? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you know where it's from? Okay, there we go. So before we get into the scriptures, I did a little bit of a deep dive into what this joy means, as it's written in scripture. And joy and happiness are quite different in scripture. So happiness is mentioned about 30 times in scripture, and it refers to a mild contentment, whereas joy is mentioned 430 times, and it speaks to a deep internal working of our hearts, a deep sense of contentment, a deep sense of joy, and a deep sense of gladness. So when we read about joy in the Bible, it comes from a very deep place in our hearts. The Hebrew word for joy is chevda, and it means joy, gladness, and rejoicing. So because of this deep-rooted joy, it often is referred to or described in Scripture as rejoicing, which is like an outward act of what is happening from a deep inward response. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this is found correctly in Nehemiah, and we're going to go through this the scripture, but I want to provide some context first. So for those of you who don't know Nehemiah, or the book of Nehemiah, it was written just after the Israelites had been taken into exile. So they had sinned against the Lord. They were serving other idols. They were not, they had forgotten the law that God had given them. And as a result, God allowed the Babylonians to come and take over and take them into exile. So at that time, Nehemiah was still in exile in Babylon. But a lot of other Jews, this was about 70 years after they had been taken into exile, some of the Jews were allowed back to Jerusalem. And he got this message that really distressed him. He said that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the city was defenseless. So you can imagine how heartbroken he was that after years and years, after 70 years in exile, finally the Jews managed to go back to Jerusalem. And then when they get there, they can't defend themselves. So he had a position just to serve the Persian king there at that stage. And he obtained permission from the king to travel to Jerusalem. And when he got there, he surveyed the situation and began to reconstruct the walls. And despite several setbacks from the enemies of Jerusalem, Nehemiah completed the task within a very short time, and the walls were dedicated to the glory of God. And Ezra the priest led the people to recommit themselves to follow God's laws, and that is where we pick up with the story. So if we can put up Nehemiah 8 verse 2, and says, "So on October the 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all children old enough to understand." Where are all our children? There we go, there's one old enough to understand. All right. "He faced the square just inside the water gates from early morning until noon." So sometimes we struggle with a 20-minute preach, you know. They were there from early morning until lunchtime. And he read aloud, and everyone could understand. "All the people listened closely to the book of the law." Repeat, "All the people listened closely." All the people listened closely. So remember that. They listened. Then in verse 8, it says, "They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage." So there was an understanding, there was a listening of the word, and there was an understanding of what the word meant. in verse 9, it said, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribes and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. So there was a deep conviction. There was a listening, there was an understanding, and then there was a deep conviction. In verse 10, it said, Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich food and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. All right. So they moved from sadness to joy, and that was a choice that they had to make. All right. So who wants the secret ingredient to be more joyful? Show his hands. Okay, there we go. I've got a four-step plan. This is the plan according to Raymond. So the first step is listen to the word of God. The second step is be open to understanding what is written. The third step is allow the word to convict you. And then the fourth step is move to action. All right, so when the people, they listen, so they listen. Listening leads to understanding. Understanding leads to conviction. Conviction leads to action. If we look at Psalm 28, verse 7, maybe we can put it up. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in him with all my heart. This is David speaking. Just listen to the words. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in him with all of my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. What is joy? Joy is the deep connection within our hearts. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. So even with David, we hear this is a worshiper between this is a worshiper at heart. He used to meditate on the word day and night. So he heard the word, and he would interpret the word. He would have people explain it to him, and he would get insight from the Lord. And there was a deep conviction within him about what he heard. And then there was always an outward response, an action, a thankfulness that came from that joy. So as he put his trust in the Lord, his heart bubbles up with joy, and he can't help but to burst out in songs of thanksgiving. So joy is something that happens deep within us. It's not happiness, that's surface level. It's a deep within our hearts, and it happens through conviction. I believe that we can't really experience true joy if we haven't experienced true conviction. So we understand and we have a stirring in our hearts. And so we understand the scripture. We have that stirring in our heart. We have that conviction. And then it leads to action. So joy is not circumstantial. It doesn't depend on what's happening in your life. It doesn't depend whether you're going through trials or tribulations. In James 1 verse 2, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind, come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Who gets really excited when trials come our way? Yay! For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will then be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So even when things are not going well and we're going through trials, we can consider it an opportunity for great joy. So opportunity, that means that we can choose an opportunity. We can choose to go whichever way. So we can choose to be joyful. It's a choice. Or we can take the opportunity to be sorrowful. Or we can take the opportunity to wallow in self-pity. Or we can choose and take the opportunity for great joy in our trials. So what is this conviction that we need to have? I'm glad you asked the question. So this conviction is good news. Don't you think good news should always be followed by joy and accompanied by joy? And what is the good news? You can't answer the right question twice. I need to give it to someone else, Isabel. But yes, the answer is always Jesus. Let's go to Romans 1 verse 2. So it says, Paul says, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. It's about God's son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family. We just read about one psalm in King David. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that good news? And he continues in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God's work, a God at work, saving everyone who believes. Saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Remember? By faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So what does this mean? The joy of the Lord is my strength. We said joy is that deep conviction. And who's the conviction about? Jesus. So it's Jesus who is our strength as we are convicted about the truth of him. Does this make sense? So if we go through life's trials and we can't muster joy through those times, it reveals something about us. It reveals that our faith in Jesus is actually weak. Have you thought of it like that? Now, this is something I struggle with. I'm not always joyful. My wife is, but I am not. Who's ever seen me drive past you when I'm driving my car? Your hand went up first. Do I look joyful in that moment, or am I? I'm serious. So I need the joy of the Lord in my driving as well. But so if we want joy in every situation, we need to understand what we're reading about in Jesus. We need that deep conviction of what he has done in our hearts. And from that deep connection, we'll then have the faith to choose joy in every situation. And the fruit will follow that decision. So it says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So listening or reading the Word of God, studying it, leads to understanding. Understanding it leads to conviction. Conviction leads to action. And our actions always reveal the fruits of our conviction. I'll repeat that again. Our action always reveals the fruits of our conviction. If we lack joy, we lack in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is if I have fruits of grumpiness, or if I have fruits of frustration, my faith is weak, and the Holy Spirit working within me is not, I'm not allowing it to work in its fullness. In Galatians 5 verse 22, it speaks of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Because it is the outward expression of our faith revealing a deep conviction about Christ within us. So, there is law against grumbling. There is law against frustration. There's no law against the fruits of the Spirit. But the Israelites were stuck in the desert for 40 years because of their grumbling. There's law against it. Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land because of his acting out in frustration. So there is consequence to our actions. So what fruit is evident in our lives? I'm the first one to say that I am not the one that experiences joy throughout every part of my day. And I need to work at that. I need to be like Jesus, like Holy Spirit, please do this work in me. I mustn't forget him. Because we so easily forget the good news. Or we become numb to it. We hear it so often in church about this good news of Jesus that we become numb to it. We forget the importance and the impact of it in our lives. So as we close, I want to ask you the question. What fruit is evident in your life? Is it joy? And where along the process do we get stuck? Is it listening or reading the Word? If we listen and read the Word, do we understand the Word? Do we ask others to help us? If we read and understand the Word, is there a deep conviction? And are we in the place of conviction where it leads to healthy action, where we see in the fruits of the Spirit? So maybe we can close our eyes. So this is a message of joy. It shouldn't be a message of condemnation. But I had to be real when I asked myself these questions. Where do I fall short in this process to find joy? And luckily, by God's grace, we don't have to do this by ourselves. But we have the Holy Spirit as a helper for us. And the Holy Spirit helps us along all four of these steps. We can ask the Holy Spirit for help when we open the Word and we say, Holy Spirit, please, like, make the Word jump out to me. What is it that you want to tell me today? We can ask the Holy Spirit for understanding, that as we read in the Word, that He will reveal its understanding to us, or at least show us someone who can help explain what I'm reading. And we need the Holy Spirit to do this conviction in our hearts, this deep-seated conviction that we need. And from that, we need to choose joy. We can't choose our situation. We can choose sadness. We can choose heaviness. But we can also choose joy. Just like when the Israelites were mourning, when they were reading and being convicted about the word, Nehemiah was saying, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And as we understand what Jesus has done for us, and we have that conviction in our hearts, it doesn't matter what situation we're going through, but we can experience God's joy in the good times, in the trials, in the bad times. So maybe I could just pray for us at the moment. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that it does not matter what situation we're going through. You paid the ultimate price on the cross for us. And we repent, Lord, where we have watered down what you have done. We repent where we have become numb to the importance of what you have done. And we repent, Lord God, where we haven't been able to be convicted deep in our hearts. But will you come and convict us now, Lord God? In our quiet times, will you meet with us? May your word come alive to us. We know your word points to Jesus. Jesus, will you come alive in our hearts today? Will you fan into flame again the flame that was once there when we first accepted you, Lord God. And will you bring joy to our lives, that as we meditate on what you have done for us, Lord Jesus, that we have a relationship now with you. We are called children of the Most High. We have a royal inheritance. May we remember that through every part of our day, Lord God, that we will choose joy as we remember what you have done for us. So, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that one of the fruits of your Spirit is joy and peace and kindness and love and all these wonderful things that we get to experience with and through you, Lord. May you remind us throughout our day, Lord God, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, that it's nothing of what we've done, but everything of what you have done in us and through us, Lord God. So may you continue that work, that we will have a deep conviction, Lord Jesus, in our hearts of what you have done, and that we may experience the joy that only you can give. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.